This morning, as Brad prepares to give us the message, part two of his lesson on praising God, our scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 145, verses 1 through 5 reads, "A song of praise of David, a praise for your greatness. My God, the King, I'll pray for you forever and ever. I will praise you every day. I will praise you forever and ever. The Lord is great. He is worthy of our praise. No one can understand how great he is. Parents will tell their children what you have done. They will retell your mighty acts, wonderful majesty and glory." Brother Brad.
Good morning. Thank you all for being here. Good to be here. And thank you for this opportunity to present this morning's lesson. The title of this morning's lesson is Praise the Lord. And the largest Bible the largest book in the Bible is the book of Psalms. And appropriately so, because God deserves our praise. And so last week we looked at Psalms 48 and we learned who should praise God, and that is everything and everyone, and why we should praise God. And for humans, that's because God created us and he saved us so that we could live for him for eternity. So thank you, Brother Tom, for reading Psalms 145, part of Psalms 145, and thank you for that. And so our text comes from this chapter from Psalms. And so this week our lesson focuses on how we praise God. What are the ways that we can express our praise to God? And so I hope it'll benefit you. One of the ways that we can praise God, the most direct ways that we can praise God, is just by speaking to him, by talking to him. And we call that prayer. And as I said before, the book of Psalms is filled with examples of prayers of praise. And matter of fact, that's basically what the book of Psalm is. It's a book of praise. And I think one thing that we can see from looking at the examples is that our prayers to God shouldn't be just a ritual, you know, something that we say. You know, sometimes people recite the model prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." I'm going to talk about that in a second. But when we talk to God, we should remember who we're talking to, and it should reflect our love for him. And so we can look at examples of prayers in the book of Psalms. And this is one of them from David. David writes, and he's talking to God here, he's praying to God. He says, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me." I don't know. There were dozens of different examples of praise that I could have found here, but this one sort of talked to me, but it's just one of many, many examples. So talking about prayer in general, and I'm just totally guessing at this, but if you're like me, you probably don't pray enough. But I think the reason for this is because, you know, we don't want to bother God. I mean, you know, he is running the universe, you know. He's the one that made the universe, and he's just too important to listen to my little problems. Now, that's the way I think. But I don't think that's true. I think God loves us so much that we can approach him anytime we want with any problem that we have, and he will be more than happy to listen to us, not only listen to us, but answer our prayers, no matter what the problem. And I like this scripture that Paul wrote in Romans, because I think it helps us understand how God feels about us. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't grow up in the church, and I just felt like God was this, I don't know, person who was just waiting for me to do something wrong and then just, you know, punish me for that. But that's not who God is at all. And God is like the most kindest father we could ever have. And when I pray to God, that's what I remember, that God is kind and he is great and he is good and he loves me so much. But anyway, in Romans, Paul said, the spirit that we have received is not a spirit that makes us slaves again and causes us to fear. The spirit that we have makes us God's chosen children. And with that spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. And I think that's the thing we need to remember. God loves us so much. He is our precious Father. And as his children, God always has the time for our problems. The word Abba here is a term of tender affection that a child would give to their father. And it translates roughly daddy or papa. And when we pray to God in public, we normally use the word our father, and I think that's a more formal term. But I think in private, I don't see a problem with using these more personal terms, because he is our father, and he loves us so much, and we can pray to him anytime, and he'll hear us. And also, speaking of prayer in general, Jesus taught us how to pray. You know, and he was very specific in this. So in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, Jesus says, this then is how you ought to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When we pray, it is certainly all right to ask for things. When we look at this model prayer, we see several things that we're asking God for. You know, we're asking for him to give us this day our daily bread. You know, to give us physical blessings. There's nothing wrong with asking for physical blessings. We ask God to forgive us when we sin. We ask God to help us overcome the temptations of sin. And so we can ask God for many things, and because he is our God and because he is our Father, he is certainly going to answer our prayers. But our prayers should always and sometimes only include praise. Praise is when we honor God with our thoughts and our minds. And notice the very first thing in the Lord's Prayer is praise. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now that word hallowed means holy, sacred. And in today's language, I would think we would say, and this is what I find myself saying a lot of times, God, you are awesome. God, you are wonderful. God, you are great. And we give him praise that way. Most of us pray when we get up in the morning and maybe when we go to bed at night. But we can pray to God anytime. And especially when it's a prayer of praise. David wrote, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise is always on my lips. My whole being praises the Lord. The poor will hear and be glad. Tell the greatness of the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. I asked the Lord for help, and he answered me. He saved me from all that I feared. This world is a tough place to live sometimes. And I've said before in another lesson, the thing that we all have in common is our suffering. Because there's no one immune to suffering in this life. And I find myself often being upset about something or being afraid of something. And when that happens, usually, I ask God for help. I go to Him for help. Now, sometimes I try to handle it on my own, but when I figure out that I can't handle it on my own, I ask for God's help. And guess what? He nearly always answers my prayers. Have you noticed that? I have. And this is a daily occurrence in my life where I'm upset about something, I'm scared about something, I ask God for help, He answers my prayers. And this shouldn't surprise us because God loves us and He wants us to be happy, so He answers our prayers. And God is quite happy to answer our prayers, but He wants our appreciation too. He wants to know that we are thankful for when we answer His prayers. And thankful for the things that He gives us. And so we need to remember to always include in our prayer praise to Him, thanking Him for the things that He gives us. Another way that we can praise God is through our singing. And I wanted to thank our brethren here for the work they do in directing us to sing. And in these past years, I've been very interested in this. And what I found is it's not easy to do, to lead singing. And so I appreciate Brother Lucas for you leading us in song. He's just started out leading this past year, and I don't know, I think he does a great job. And I appreciate what you do. And Brother DC, he's gone to, I don't know if you guys know this, but this past summer, it was his 10th year of going to singing school, where he spends one whole week in Abilene, Texas University, and learns how to lead singing. And he brought Brother Greg Peters with him this past summer, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate DC's help in trying to help me learn how to lead singing. I really felt blessed by this. We can praise God with our minds when we pray, but we also praise God with our feelings too. When we realize all the things that God has done for us, it fills our heart with joy and thankfulness. And so singing is a great expression of joy for the Lord and what He has done for us. Someone once said, singing is a way of saying, God is so great that thinking alone isn't enough. There must be deep feeling. And talking alone isn't enough. There must be singing. We know that singing is important to God because His word contains over 400 references to singing and 50 direct commands to sing. And as I said before, the longest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms, is actually a songbook. Those songs were designed to be sung, and they are songs of praise. Singing pleases God than even good works that we do. The psalmist writes, I will praise God in song. I will honor Him by giving thanks. That will please the Lord more than offering Him cattle. It will please Him more than the sacrifice of a bull with horns and hooves. And then he goes on further to say, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise His name. Every day tell how He saves us. One reason we should sing is because, or one reason we should sing to God, and that is who we should be singing to when we sing. We should sing to God. But one reason we should sing to God is because He sings about us. Zephaniah writes, "The Lord your God is with you. The Mighty One will save you. The Lord will be happy with you. You will rest in His love, and He will sing and be joyful about you." God sings about us. If God sings about us, we should be singing to Him. Jesus sang with His disciples shortly after the Passover supper with them. When Jesus and His disciples had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, Mark 14, verse 26. And as we sing songs of praise this morning in our assembly, Jesus sings with us. Jesus is here with us, and He sings with us. The Hebrew writer declared, "Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters." He said, "I will declare God's name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises." Jesus is here with us when we sing. We are singing together with Him. God wants our singing to be spiritual. Jesus said, "God is spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." Since our singing is part of our worship, it must be spiritual. That is, it must be done with our spirit. It must be done with our heart. Paul wrote, "Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to God." When we sing and make music in our heart to God, our heart is the ruling center of who we are. It is our spirit. It's the foundation of our will, our intellect, our feelings. When we make music in our hearts to God, our thoughts and our feelings, our spirits are directed toward Him. To please God, we must engage our hearts to Him when we sing. Singing praises God not only because we're speaking to Him, but we're also teaching those around us that we're singing or that can hear us sing. Singing allows the message of Christ to dwell among us richly. Paul wrote, "Let the messages of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." And finally, we can express our praise to God by telling others about how great He is. Now, in our text today, Psalms 145, a beautiful song of praise. And I don't know if you noticed how many times just in those first five verses it mentions telling others about God's greatness. But in the whole chapter, there's six times that the psalmist writes, "Tell others." The psalmist writes, "I praise your greatness, my God the King. I will praise you forever and ever. I will praise you every day. I will praise you forever and ever. Parents will tell their children what you have done. They will retell your mighty acts, wonderful majesty and glory. And I will think about your miracles. They will tell about the amazing things you do. I will tell how great you are. They will tell about the glory of your kingdom. They will speak about your power." Folks, if we truly believe God is great, then we will tell others about Him. I love Old Testament stories. they're really a great way for us to keep a picture in our mind. You know, when we have a story in our mind, we have a picture of what God wants us to know. And I want to read a story to you this morning. And I guess my heart is with children because I've got two grandchildren. Colin is 8. And this is a perfect book for him, which I'm going to give him a copy of this. But the title of this book is Joshua Crosses the Jordan. And it's a reader book. It's really good for children who are just learning how to read. And I'm going to give it to you guys. I think there's 3 of you guys. I've got 4. And if anybody wants more, I'll order you some. I'll order as many as you need. But I'm going to be reading a part of that book. And I'm going to be showing you other pictures. These are really great illustrations in here. They're much better than the ones I'm going to show you. But this story illustrates a great point that God wants us to know about praising him, and that is telling others. God said to Joshua, "You must lead my people into a new land. It's a land with rivers and streets and trees and lots of good food to eat." Joshua wanted to help the people to get to their new land, but first they had to cross a big river. It was called the Jordan River. "Be strong and brave," God said, "and I will be with you." The river was very deep and wide. The people wondered how they would get across the big river, but Joshua was not afraid. He knew that God would be with them. Joshua led the people to the river. The priests stepped into the river and they stopped. Then God did a great thing. God made the river stop flowing. Soon the water was gone and the ground was dry. All the people walked on dry ground to get to the other side. Then God said to Joshua, "Pick 12 men. Tell each of them to take a stone from the middle of the river. Then put the stones in a pile where you stay tonight." Joshua picked 12 men, and they did put the stones in a pile, just like God told them to. God said to Joshua, "Someday your children will ask about these stones. Then you can tell them how you crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. The 12 special stones would help the people remember what God did for them that day." The stones in the story gave the people a way to remember the great thing God did for them to get to the promised land. I always thought this was interesting because this journey to the promised land started back in Egypt when Moses led the Israelites across the Red Sea, and of course, God opened the Red Sea. And now here, the final stage, here we now have Joshua leading the people to the final step to the promised land. And here again, God provides a miracle for them to get to the promised land. But the stones were a way to give the people a way to remember what God did for them. And when children in Joshua's day saw the pile of stones, they could ask their parents, and their parents could tell them what it was for. And they could tell them that God did a great thing for them. Brethren, today I believe we do have a memorial stone in the Lord's Supper, and I think that is a great way. We come here every Sunday, we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we remember what God did for us. But I think another memorial stone that we shouldn't overlook is ourselves. I think we need to remind our children and the people around us how great God is and what great things he has done for us. I believe the most powerful way we can teach our children about Jesus is by telling them what he means to us. Telling them how we became Christians. And telling them what great things he's doing for us today. This should be on our hearts and on our minds. Moses said, "Listen, people of Israel. The Lord is our God. He is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength. Always remember these commands I give you today. And then he said, teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit down at home and walk along the road. Talk about them when you lie down and when you get up. Write them down and tie them on your hands as a sign. Tie them on your forehead to remind you. Write them on your doors and gates. God's word should penetrate us so deeply and fully that we become memorial stones to our children and the people around us. We become so full of God's love that we can't help talking about Him. And that God is so ingrained in our hearts that we look for ways to share our faith with the people that we see each day. And as memorial stones, when we tell others about God and when we show them through our good example in the lives that we live, we can cause others to praise God. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its salty taste, it cannot be made salty again. It is good for nothing. It must be thrown out for people to walk on." And then he said, "You are the light that gives light to the world, a city that's built on a hill that cannot be hidden. And people don't hide a light under a bowl. They put the light on a lampstand. Then the light shines for all the people in the house. In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things that you do. Live so that they will praise your Father in heaven." God said through the prophet Isaiah, "Bring to me all the people who are mine. I made them for my glory. I formed them. I made them. This people have I formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Let everything that breathe praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." It's obvious that we were created to praise God. And I hope this lesson and the lesson from last week helps us to remember that. And at this time, we would like to extend the Lord's invitation. To anyone who would like to put on Christ through baptism, we stand by and ready to help you with that. Or if you need prayers of the church, we can offer that too.